loving each other in the right way. Boy, the world talks about love, don't they? I mean, they try to make us believe they know what it is. And they're all kinds. People say, I love ice cream, I love my dog, and I love my wife. Let's hope they're not the same, right? We use love in so many different ways. In fact, in the understanding of the Greek language, I kind of like to refer to the four different words for love to help us understand the many dimensions of love, so that we'll crystal in on the word that we really need in our marriage. You can only have the right kind of love in your marriage if you're a Christian. That's why spiritual commitment is absolutely essential for marital happiness. It is possible for two unbelievers to enjoy a measure of love, certain kinds of love. But the love that God tells us is the love we need in our marriages is only possible to believers. And I'm going to show you that before we're through. How to love each other in the right way. There is a family love. The word storge in Greek is used, for instance, in Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another, it says. And it uses the word, the third word, friendship love, with this word, phile storge, puts the two together and indicates the family love. This word was used by Greeks for the love of animals even, and especially the love of parents to children. And naturally, we need that kind of love in our marriages and in our families. There's also sexual love in Greek, which uses the word eros, but that does not appear in the New Testament, even though we've already learned the Bible really talks about sex. The third word, friendship love, is used in the Bible. Wives in Titus 2 are told to love their husbands with phile love. Jesus said one time to his disciples, I call you no more servants, but I call you friends. And the word he used was phile, meaning literally lovers. It's the companionship love. By the way, God loves us in this way. It's a good and it's a strong word. And we need to be companions. One of the purposes of marriage is intimate companionship. But the kind of love that we desperately need in order to be fulfilled in the greatest way, even sexually, the kind of love that really makes it go is spiritual love, which is the word agape. Now, I see this word a lot. I see it on signs, even got little window stickers. The other day I was driving down the street and a guy had a big one on the back of it said agape. And I said, hey, you got that sign? He yelled out of my window, agape, in the back of your window. He said, get the blah, 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 out of here. I mean, he didn't appreciate what that word was. Agape love. People wear that sign, you know, but they don't know what it is. Agape, what does it mean? And that's what we want to talk about, because the husband, according to Ephesians 5:25, is to agape his wife, to love his wife. And it's agape love that we desperately need in our marriage. And I want to just give to you what I call the seven basic facts about spiritual love. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I hope this will clarify and bring some meaning to your life about why you may not be experiencing love with your partner like you want to. It might help to bring that to the surface, and you'll know why. In 1 John chapter 4, the first thing and the first fact that we want to look at is that God's love, this love we need in our lives, this spiritual love, is distributed by God alone. You cannot get it yourself. You can't drum it up. You can't motivate yourself in order to be loving in this way. I used to think I could, but no way. I fell flat on a pancake. Every time I tried to demonstrate the love of God, I couldn't do it. This love is distributed by God Himself. 1 John 4. Beloved, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. The Greek means out of, by way of source. It comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, this love is from God by way of source. It does not come from human nature. Now, in your human spirit, you are capable of certain kinds of love, but not spiritual love. Romans 5 verifies this when it tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 verifies it when it says, the fruit, the product of the Spirit of God, is love. Where does this love come from that I desperately need in my marriage? And the answer is from God alone. For God is love. Not merely love, God is much more than that, but the essential nature of God's character and who He is love. Aren't you glad of that? Everything about God is love. God is love. Every act that He does is in love. Even His justice and His perfection and holiness and His righteous anger and His wrath is all bathed in His precious love and forgiveness and loving kindness. What a Lord we have. But it's distributed by God. Secondly, you must understand that God's love is delivered without requiring a response. Boy, that tells you a whole bunch in terms of marriage. When you've got God's love, you don't need a response from your partner. Now, let's look at this carefully. In 1 John 4:10, it says this, "In this is love, not that we love God." Notice, you don't have to love God. "But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation," or the satisfaction, the mercy seat for our sins. You see, God's love, the spiritual love, is delivered both to us and through us without requiring or demanding a response. Another example would be Romans 5:8 that says, "God commends or gives His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now think about that for a moment. God doesn't wait for you to be loving. God doesn't even base His love on whether you're lovely or not. In fact, He says you're not. He says you're quite unlovely. He says all of our righteousness is like filthy rags in His sight. There's none good, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Well, why does God love us? Does God love us because we're worthy? Somebody told me the reason why God loves us is because He needed somebody to love. No, He didn't. Our God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One in essence, substance, and being, meaning God. But He manifests Himself in three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God did not need an object to love. That is not the reason He loved you. The Father loved the Son, says the Bible. The Son loved the Father. The Spirit loved the Father. The Father loved the Spirit. They had a love relationship. That was not the reason why He made us. God's love actually is extended to us on no basis in us. None whatsoever. God's nature, being love, and I say this reverently, forces Him to love us. Once you know what spiritual love is, and once it gets in your heart, you'll begin to understand it in your marriage. That love so controls you that you give without thought of what you receive in return. It does not depend on somebody responding to you or being worthy of it. So many of us say, whether consciously or unconsciously, "My partner doesn't deserve what I give to them." We see the way they act. Or when you do something that you think is loving and your partner does not receive it, boy, the hurt feelings. A lot of us wear our hearts on our sleeve. And what we're really experiencing there is a human love and not a spiritual love. And it's a spiritual love that we desperately need in our marriage. The ability to love somebody else regardless of how they respond to us. I remember so well, it's quite a long time ago now, but I remember so well the day that I was so filled with romance I could hardly stand myself. You know what I mean? I was sitting in the office, I was thinking about it, I was creating it, and I thought, man, oh man, am I going to have an evening when I get home? And I'm planning this whole thing, you know, just in this day. And I'm thinking, I'll tell you, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop by the florist shop, and I'm going to get one rose and stick it in a little vase, and I'm going to get a card. And I'm going to call up a fancy restaurant. I'm going to take my wife. I'm total surprised to my wife. I had this whole thing planned. I mean, when I left the office, man, I straightened my tie. I put on all that spruce juice and, you know, whatever I could use. And I'm getting ready to go, man. I got in the car. I go home. I'm so excited. And I could just imagine coming up to the door swinging open, my wife in a new sexy nightgown. I buy her a lot of them. She never wears them. I buy them anyway. So anyway, there she is, and she's going to whip her arms around me. And I just had, I don't know, I was way out fantasizing, man. No doubt about it. I was so excited about all this. I did it all, had the little rose, the card, the dinner arrangements all settled. And I came up and I opened the door, and what I saw, my wife was sick, had a little flu, and when she's sick, she works around the house. I don't know why she does that, but she does that. And she had the vacuum cleaner. In fact, it was in her hand at the door. And her hair was up in curlers. And she looked a mess, tell you the truth. And I opened the door, I'm standing there, and
She said, "Not tonight, honey."
I'm ashamed to say it, but I sulk all night. I sat down in that chair, turned on a TV, and I still don't know what I watched. I was so upset. Well, you see, it was obviously I didn't have any spiritual love there. When are we ever going to learn that? When are we ever going to learn that? Most of us don't demonstrate love unless we're assured of response. And that is not God's love. Number three, love is demonstrated by what it does. I don't know how many people tell me, "Hey, I love just because I don't do anything." Really? Is that right? Some people say, "Oh, I wish my partner would just say, 'I love you.' Just say it." And I've had guys say to me, "Hey, you don't have to say it." Really? Really? Now, you see, a lot of us, we think we're getting out of it by using those little defense mechanisms. But let's just look at what the Word of God says about this spiritual love. I believe it's demonstrated by what it does. 1 John 3:17-18. It says, "Whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." I ask you, what are you doing to demonstrate that you truly love? We ought to say it, but is it just words? What do we do? What acts do we do? I was challenging one guy as I was challenging myself. I said, "Hey, why don't we make a list of things that we believe are loving things that we could do for our wives?" And we were making a list. We'd been talking, and we were in a little discipleship thing, and we were talking about it. So we're making a list of things. It's really funny. You know, he wrote down one, I wrote down one. And then we scratched it out and said, "Well, we can't do that today." So then we wrote down another one, and, well, that wouldn't do so well either. And, you know, it was really hard. I know it sounds silly. It was really hard. And so then we start breaking it down. And you know what we wound up with? It was the little things. It was the little things. And that's where I believe a lot of marital unhappiness happens. And a lot of dissatisfaction in bed happens. You know why? Because it's the little things that have been building up to that. And it's the little things that demonstrate that you really love. One wife who was very disturbed about the lack of love on the part of her husband. She was very disturbed about it. And she said, "You know, I never see him loving in any tangible way." And I called him on the phone. We got together. We were talking about it. And I said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever done anything to show your wife that you really love her?" He said, "Well, I did something the other day." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I set the table." I said, "You set the table?" He said, "Really? I don't normally set the table. I set the table." So the following week when I was talking to her, I said, "Hey, your husband told me he did a loving thing." She said, "Name one." I said, "He set the table for you." "Oh," she said, "you got to be kidding." I said, "Does he normally set the table?" She said, "No." I said, "You know, he feels hurt right now because you do not accept that as love." I said, "Sure, it's one thing, but," I said, "you see, you're so negative now, you don't even see the little positive things." A lot of times we dwell on what our partners don't do and don't see the little things that they've done, which is just a little simple way of his saying, "Honey, I love you. You know, I don't like to do it." It's like going shopping. You know, most guys I know don't like shopping. You know what I mean? It is a strange experience. Have you guys noticed that? Taking your wife's shopping. It's strange. I don't understand how they can go in a store and try on 15, 20 dresses and then walk out and say, "I don't want anything." I don't understand that, you know. And then it upsets me, you know, about halfway through you're standing, you know, roaming around the dresses and walking all around, you're dead tired, and about halfway through, one of those employees will come up and say, "Did you want a chair?" "Did I want a chair? I mean, of course I want a chair. I mean, I've been standing here for an hour. I mean, well, yeah, I want a chair." And then another thing, you know, they won't let you see what your wife says. "Well, don't worry, it's beautiful, I can assure you." "Hey, I'm not buying it if I can't see it." You know, there's a lot of things about shopping that bother me, you know. But anyway... Anyway, I have found that a lot of things that we don't like to do, when we do them, we demonstrate love. And our partners interpret it as love. I like to watch a football game, and I remember my wife wanting me to do something, and a football game was on.
And you know, I thought about it. I wrestled with it. I didn't let her know. But in my mind, I said, oh, Dave, you've got to love now. You've got to really do the right thing here. And I said, oh, look, it's going to be a touchdown. Oh, God would certainly want me to see the end of this. Oh, just, I'll tell you what. Halftime. That's when I'll do it. Halftime. Oh, but they got a terrific halftime show. They're going to do those playbacks and all that. Well, anyway, finally I said, oh, shoot. You know, and I pushed it off and I went and I did what she wanted me to do. And, you know, she just turned on. I couldn't believe it. And I felt like a rat. You know, because I did it so, you know, grudgingly. But hey, let me tell you something. It's when we do things that we don't like to do, and things that just tell little things, just, you know, those honey-do lists, you know, we make little scenes about, you know, honey-do this, do that, whatever. But, you know, in a way, I've wondered if it wouldn't be a good tactic if a husband said to his wife, honey, would you give me a list every weekend of all the things that you'd really like me to do? I'm not saying I'm going to do them all, but I just want you to give me a list. You know what would happen? Your wife would die and you'd have to remarry. Obviously from shock. Hey, look, people. Love is shown by what it actually does. And then a fourth thing. Love is defined by its ability to give. Don't ever forget that. Love gives. Love doesn't keep saying, what am I going to get? Love says, what am I going to give? The most exciting sexual encounter between a husband and a wife is one where both partners are obsessed with giving rather than receiving. That is the most exciting experience of all. That you want more than anything to turn your partner on. You want more than anything to make them happy. You'll do anything. You have that desire to give. You are motivated to give. You are not motivated to get. And I'm telling you, frankly, that's not human nature. That's why we need to be controlled by the love of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He, what? Gave His only begotten Son. That's what love is. God giving His Son for a lost humanity, a sinful race. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's love. God loved us when we didn't care anything about Him, when we ignored Him, going our own way, self-centered, selfish. But God loved. Love is defined by its ability to give. And number five, this one is very important. Spiritual love is displayed by obedience to God. Obedience to God. Did you know that? It is love when you obey God. Some people say it's not love unless you feel like it. People say, I can't love unless I feel like it. That's not true. Do you know that? Feelings are the result of obedience. Doing the right thing is love. I want to show you what I mean. Turn, please, to John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. It is love when we obey His commandments. John 14:15 says, Jesus is talking, if you love Me, with spiritual love, that's the word used there, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. What's the demonstration we really love the Lord? It's that we're obedient to Him. Now turn over to 1 John 5 and look at verse 3. 1 John 5, verse 3. This is a neat verse. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. They're not a heavy trip at all. God's love is keeping His commandments. It is displayed by obedience to God. Never forget that. But one other thing we must mention, our sixth fact about spiritual love, is that it is always defeated by sin. Did you know that? There's one thing that stops the flow of God's wonderful love from His Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, and that's sin. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. 1 John 3, 11 and 12. It says, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Sin defeats the love of God. We should love one another, but not like Cain. Why did not Cain love his brother? Why? Because his deeds were evil. Listen, when there's sin in your life, you are incapable of loving with God's love.
This love is produced by the Holy Spirit. And when you're sinning, you are quenching the Spirit. You are throwing water on the flame of the Holy Spirit. You are grieving the Holy Spirit, says Ephesians 4:30. You are keeping the Holy Spirit, who's inside of the believer, from manifesting His wonderful love through you to your partner every time there's sin in your life. Sinful attitudes like malice and bitterness and resentment and anger that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. Sins like immorality. These sins are blocking the flow of the love of God, and we wonder, why aren't we being satisfied? Why are not my needs being met? What's happening here? Well, there may be sin in the camp. And when sin's in the camp, in the heart of the individual, we are not able to love with the spiritual love of God. But one final fact about God's love that I really love, and that is that this spiritual love is developed in your life by strong commitment. If I could leave you with one word from beginning to end of our love and marriage seminar, it's the word commitment. Commitment. What's the basis of marriage? Commitment. Song of Solomon, that beautiful love book of the Bible, chapter 8. These are two verses I would urge you all to memorize. Put them on a plaque and put them up in your room, or set them somewhere where you can see it, on a little card, maybe in your car. You can refer to it a lot. Song of Solomon 8. Verse 6 and 7, what beautiful words these are, showing us that spiritual love is developed by strong commitment. Song of Solomon 8, 6 and 7. It says, "Put me like a seal over your heart." These are beautiful words. "Like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol or the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised." Love is a fantastic thing. And no matter what trials you're going through, many waters cannot quench it. A few years ago, a man with whom I was familiar, just really in a very small way, he'd been married over 30 years. His wife was not a believer, and he was. He tried to be faithful to his wife during the years. He did the best he could as a husband. But he was greatly burdened about her through the years. Sometimes he'd think of it more than others. But his wife contracted a severe form of cancer, and she began to shrivel up to almost nothing. She lost weight rapidly, and everything began to cave in. She looked awful. He had her in and out of hospitals, and he became very, very concerned about her faith in the Lord Jesus. And he really begged her to be saved, but no response. Finally, one day in the hospital, the doctor told him that there really was no hope for his wife, that she would die in just a few weeks, and that he could either leave her there or he could take her home. He decided to take her home, and he picked her up in his arms. She was down to about 80 pounds. He picked her up in his arms and carried her out that day, and he cried the whole way home, put her in the car, and drove her home. He called up his work, and told him about the problem. He said, "I really do not want to come into work until my wife passes away." And so they understood. It turned out to be 5 weeks. But each day he stayed with his wife. He never left her bedside. He'd take care of her, met all of her needs. She never got out of that bed, just a little. And he'd lay there all night, all day. And he put his arms around his wife, and he'd talk to her and beg her to turn to the Lord. He even had me out to the house to talk to her, but no response. About 3 days before she died, she wanted him to call me to come out to the house. I went out to the house. And I tell you, there have been very few situations that I've seen in my life where I have seen the kind of love and commitment that existed here. But anyway, this woman, she said, "Pastor, I know that you want me to know the Lord." She said, "I want you to know that I'm ready now." She said, "I want to know the Lord. I want you to tell me one more time how I can be sure that I'm a Christian." Very brilliant lady. But she said, "I want you to know that," because I had asked her, I said, "Well, I don't understand, all this time you've been refusing. What? Why now?" And she said, "I want you to know," and she looked over at her husband and put her little bony hand on him and said, "I know now that my husband truly loves me." And she said, "You know, I know him. I've lived with him over 30 years. And what I have seen these last few weeks could only be God in his life."
humanly speaking, there was no way this man could have done what he has done. I know him too well. And she said, I'm helpless, Pastor. And I don't mean physically. I'm helpless at the sight of what God has done in my husband's life. He's got to be real. So tell me again how I can be a Christian. We had the joy of seeing her receive Christ and ask Jesus to come into her life. 3 days later, she died. I thought a lot about that. Commitment. Strong commitment. Many waters, they cannot quench love. Rivers, they can't overflow it. If a man gives all the riches of his house for it, it would utterly be despised. God's love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love and you want to give us your love through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for each person listening who maybe is unsure of their own relationship with God. They don't know that they die right now, they'd be in heaven with you. God, I thank you. You're a God of grace and loving kindness. You're slow to anger. You care about us. Your loving kindness is extended to all generations. We thank you, Lord, you gave your only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sin, that he, being God in human flesh, could substitute his infinite life for us, paying for all the righteous demands of the law. And we thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, to believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and you said we would be saved. You said, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. You said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, I pray that you'd help many, many couples and individuals here to turn to the Lord as their only hope of salvation, their only hope of a really fulfilling and happy marriage. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.